Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
Caught in love so strange. Said you never know.
How you doing today, Brandon Stokely?
Hey, cover
our eyes. We got all types of stuff going on in the studio right now. Stoke is in his normal perch in a separate room.
I know that some will say.
But Mike Evans went and broke the microphone here again. It's like legitimately, it's like the 10th time.
I need it so bad.
All right, we have, like I said, a ton going on right now. We got our engineers in here trying to fix microphones. Stokely's mic in the other studio. Are you with us, Stoke?
I'm here. Dude, turn my mic on. Holy cow, I've been on. I've been waiting. I didn't know what was going on. The music kept playing, and I'm talking, and you're not responding, and... Holy cow.
There he is. There
Did you
he
not
is.
Hear anything I was saying?
No.
Wow.
It's like the best opening of the show ever.
No, like, I came back. I'm doing great. Zachary, how are you?
I'm doing great.
I mean, it's game week. I mean, I'm all fired up over here, and, you know, I'm getting nothing from you, really, and not knowing what's going on.
Well, Mike Evans broke the microphone again.
Yeah.
And this is like not, I'm not like having fun with Mike. This is like legitimately the fifth or sixth time that he's done this. I don't know what he does. Every other host who sits in that chair throughout the day seems to have no problem. And Mike broke the mic.
Again, it's mind-boggling.
It really is, Coach. And now I'm in what they call, behind the curtain here, like the jock seat. This is where, the mindless position of just being a reactor. This is where they sit, right?
There's a shot in there somewhere.
there's the driver's seat. They can stare right at the producer. So now I'm in the jock seat. You're behind me. I like this. No, me too, because it's almost like a really like poetic. You have like me leading the show with you directly behind
me. Yes, perfect. I'm good with this. I don't have to really look at your eyes. Don't turn around. Just keep looking at Gary over there fixing Mike's
headphone. There's real symbolism here.
I mean, don't look back here. Don't look behind you. I don't know. I mean, you know, look, it's off to a different start. It's a Tuesday. It feels like a Monday, right? Doesn't it feel like a Monday? I mean, we got a game here in a couple days.
We got a game. Which
is unbelievable.
Only like maybe like 56 hours or something from Cowboys against the reigning Super Bowl champions, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's on Thursday night.
This is great.
I mean, this is awesome. This is awesome.
I mean, we're right around the corner. Sunday, here we go. First game of 2021. It's back.
It's crazy,
it's
man.
It's here. It is really here. I'm excited, beyond excited. What a great week it's going
to
be.
We made it through the offseason, man.
We did it.
And we didn't just make it through. We galloped through it.
It was a fun offseason. It was better than the offseason before, obviously. We had a lot more to talk about, a lot more to react to. So I think it was a good offseason all the way around, going out to training camp, you know, pretty much every day, being out there and taking in practices was great, even though it wasn't like we normally do it. We were still able to do that. And it's here, man. I love it. Man. I can't wait. College football was great this weekend.
How much college football did you watch?
More than normal. More than normal. That Clemson-Georgia game was old school, smash mouth. You know,
you talk about winning just, in the trenches, man. Georgia early. It almost reminded me of the Super Bowl this past year. Was like, oh no, there's a mismatch up front. Those dogs, pardon the pun, from Georgia were just off the chain and loose. And Clemson looked as Man, they got humbled. They looked as pedestrian as I can. Obviously, they're playing a great opponent, top five opponent, ranked fifth in the country at the time of the game. So Georgia's really good. But, man, I can't remember a half a football where Clemson couldn't score a point. And they didn't hang their first three until the fourth quarter,
the whole
right?
game. I mean, yeah.
Crazy.
It was awful. That quarterback looked overmatched. He looked confused. They hit him early. They hit him often. Clemson's O-line was awful. They just couldn't get anything going. And, you know, obviously that quarterback's a highly rated prospect coming out of high school, sitting behind Trevor Lawrence, for a year or so. And he just wasn't ready. Wasn't ready for that type of stage. And they certainly didn't help him at all.
No.
You know, they didn't help him at all. And they got to go back to the drawing board and clean things up with the offensive line.
No question.
Make some things a little bit easier for him. I think they'll be okay. But that offensive line was just awful. And that Georgia defensive front was real. And it was fun. I mean, it was fun to watch that game. I mean, you looked up, though, and Clemson had a ball in the fourth quarter with a chance to tie the darn thing. I'm like, this thing feels like it's 30 to nothing.
I know.
And it was 10-3. Clemson had a chance to tie the darn thing, which was, to me, was a shocker. I got to watch LSU, UCLA. What?
Hey, Friday, last segment of the show.
Uh-huh.
I said, in this spot, we couldn't remember the spread. I said, I really like UCLA in this
didn't remember
game.
That.
Oh, yeah. Last
didn't,
segment of the show.
I believe you because I remember you were all on Colorado State. Northern Colorado.
University of Northern Colorado.
Northern Colorado to cover, and they did, and I was on that with you. And so that was a big one, and all credit to that to you.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, I didn't remember the UCLA one, but I watched that game and it
was a good football team, man. That's a good football team. I said this last week. I like the direction that they're going. Chip Kelly's got all his guys in there now. You go and look at UCLA last year; they were like 3-4, right? But I said I like where they're going because they played three ranked opponents really tough, and they lost by like 3 points, 5 points, 1 point.
And all their losses last year were under 4 points or something, that. There's a crazy stat like that.
Yep. And I was wise to that. Hammered them against Hawaii last weekend where they just bludgeoned.
Well, you didn't tell any of us that though.
You didn't tell us that.
Week now
zero.
You're bringing that up 2 weeks later.
But in the last segment, I had a listener reach out on Instagram and say, hey, because of your comments, I threw UCLA in a 6-team parlay and he hit it.
Wow.
It was like plus, you know, crazy amount.
I like the new guru here. I ain't gonna lie. You've been hot here lately. I got to give you credit for that. You've been hot. You know, just as long as, you know, like, you got to keep it within bounds here. You know, you can't say you got to buy 5 points and that kind of stuff, right? Let's just keep it straightforward. And when you do that, you have been hot, though.
I'll tell you what. Heating up for the weekend,
that's
man.
That's right. This is the time to get hot.
That's right. That's right.
We'll get
I learned a ton from Zach, so we're lucky to have him.
Thank you, Coach. We're very fortunate to have
him. Thank you, Coach.
Zach's juice is rare.
Thank you, Coach.
That's a little bit overboard now. Let's
do we have a George Payton anywhere?
No, let's not. No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
We got.
We're going to have to get our, you know, our weekly segment of I don't know, what can we call it? Zach buys picks, you know, something like that, where you give us a couple of your.
How about this?
No brainers.
Buy lines.
Let's come up with something better.
It's super creative. I mean, I don't expect you to get the reference, but in any article has a byline, like from the author. But as I said a few weeks ago,
isn't that your like your handle or something?
Last book you read was Goodnight Moon.
Who? What?
Chicka Chicka Boom Boom. Will there be enough room? It's the last book Stokely read. That's my handle on Twitter, man.
Let's get something new and unique, where we can put you and prop you up and give you your stage to, you know, just help make us money.
Are me and you gonna go head to head like we've done the past four football seasons?
Yeah, where I win every year. I mean, yes.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, I crushed you last year. I'd lost track of the money that you owed me and, you know, just kind of just goes away.
I'll tell you what. Fine. I'll say this. You did beat me last year.
Yeah.
But far and away, and this is no joke, far and away, the best combination of picking games has been me and you since we started the show.
Why? I mean, that's not even a doubt.
When we used to do the King Supers fan football pick 'em as shows versus each other, you and I won like 2 years in a row. You and I were the most frequent winners a year ago. I won four of them things last year and looking to run it back here. And you can sign up now, denverfan.com. Doesn't cost anything.
Groceries gets, for a year.
Yeah, the easy. Ultimate winner gets groceries for a year. They give away like
weekly winners.
$250 for your weekly winner. So it's just a no-brainer.
It's fun. It's easy. It's free. I mean, it really is.
There's no downside.
Sign up and you just pick your picks every week. And if you win, you get great prizes. And if you don't, then you have fun.
And a lot of credit goes to Zach.
Oh, stop
Thank
it.
Thank you, George.
Stop it. That was enough.
Thank
Two
you,
was enough. We don't need three, Richie. You started off slow. You didn't have my mic on for the first 2 minutes, and now you're, just doing nothing but pumping Zach up here. Let's slow down a little bit on a Tuesday.
What'd you think about CU and Northern Colorado on that was Friday night?
I didn't get to watch any of the game.
Okay.
I don't have, DirecTV doesn't have Pac-12 Network.
Oh,
I think that's what it was on, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, because I tried to record it and couldn't get it. They don't have the Pac-12 Network. So, unfortunately, I didn't get to watch any of it. I obviously followed it on my phone,
sure.
but didn't see any of it. Did you watch?
I watched nearly every second of it. I was going back and forth between CU and UNC, and CU ultimately defeated Ed McCaffrey and University of Northern Colorado 35-7. We were all over that one on Friday, talking about covering that spread. But CSU, Stoke, Colorado State, man, whoo, they got rolled. Now, this is not surprising to me. One thing that you have learned about me through the years is that I champion that top level of FCS football, the North Dakota States and the James Madisons and schools like that, the Villanovas and UAlbany. I was a voice of UAlbany for 6 years, so I know that level. That South Dakota State team, now I hammered this one, and I don't want to say this on publicly on Friday because and I know you're going to roll your eyes.
Go.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Colorado State's a local team.
We can't be talking. We got to have rules. You can't talk about hammering after the fact.
Well, what's my nickname? What's my nickname?
After the fact, Zach.
After the fact, Zach.
Well, all right, every now and then you can. It puts a smile on my face. Go for it. All right, you hammered it. Thank you for telling us all that.
That South Dakota State team went to the national championship and lost to Sam Houston State last year. They returned nearly everyone. This never made sense. Colorado State was a 2.5-point favorite at home. And I know Tyler was having some fun with the Rams and saying, I can't believe this. And I'm looking at it like, South Dakota State's going to come in here and beat those boys. And that's exactly what they did. And they didn't just win. They beat the brakes off them, 42-23.
Oof.
And I know Colorado State football fans are freaking out, and that's fine. But I'm just here to tell you, they didn't get beat by some FCS cupcake. There's guys on that football team that will play in the National Football League, South Dakota State. So you took it on the chin. You got beat,
all of that. Yeah, saying all that, though, Zach, Colorado State shouldn't be losing that football game. I'm just telling you, okay? I got it. I got all that you said, and I'm with you. And, the FCS, they got some good football players there. They got some good football teams. Colorado State should not lose to South Dakota State. Shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen.
I'll say this. I agree with you. I agree with you. Here's where I doubly agree.
Oh.
You shouldn't get beat 42-23.
Right.
I mean, they got the brakes beaten off them on their home field. So, yeah, I all credit in the world to South Dakota State.
Let's go, Dreesen.
That program's in a bit of trouble. And it's early in the season, so.
Second year with this coach, right? Got him from Boston College.
Yes.
I can't think of his name.
Is it Adazio?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think so. The two dudes guy?
The what?
The two dudes. What's Richie? What is his name? Steve Adazio.
That's you're on it. You're on it. But it was to start with. Now,
Ultimate Dudes.
There he is.
Okay.
Ultimate Dudes.
Two dudes. Oh, okay.
Well, it was 53 dudes that came in and kicked.
I don't know if he was from around here or what, but it was just a weird hire to start with. Do you agree with that? I don't know. Did he have Colorado State connections?
Because
this guy's at Boston College, he's coming here, that just didn't make sense, to me.
I don't think
It never made sense.
He was at Temple for a bit, Boston College.
Yeah, the hire didn't make sense. We'll see. But, he's in his second year, right?
Second year.
I mean, look, this thing better get better quickly here. College sports, you don't get, 3, 4, 5 years anymore, freebies here. We'll see how it goes, but the hire to start with was weird for me and different. There were some other names out there with more local connections that I thought would have been better. They didn't go that route. You go like opposite of that. You better get it right.
Right.
And as of right now, they've got it wrong. So we'll see.
And they just built that new beautiful facility up there in 2017. Hired this guy, paying him $1.5 million. Yeah, he needs to win. He needs to win. This is, look, I mean, it's not the SEC, but still, you got to win. You got to win. So we'll see what that program, if they can bounce back from that very humbling shellacking from the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State. Okay. Hey, man, I just got to say this, man. It was so good. And I heard some of the shows reacting to this yesterday. Did the morning show do the morning show as well yesterday? They were both at what?
Just us, I guess. We just didn't. I don't know why we didn't get our show. But anyway, I didn't want to do it with you anyway. I was on the golf course enjoying my day and then enjoyed my afternoon with my family, cooked up some steaks. So I was good anyway. I didn't want to work with you.
So was I. We were given the choice. I wasn't given the choice. I was given the choice. I said, I'll take the day. And I guess maybe they were given the choice and they chose to work. Good for those guys. I had a good time listening to
them. Good for you, bud.
Good for you, bud. But so I heard the other shows reacting to this, but this is the first time we've had a chance to be on the air since Friday. How cool was it, man? How cool was it to see the scene at Virginia Tech? Where do they play? Blacksburg, Virginia, right?
Yeah, that's where I was born.
Is that right?
Yeah, Blacksburg, Virginia.
You're kidding me.
No.
I didn't know that.
My dad coached at Virginia Tech. That's where I was born, Blacksburg.
No kidding, dude. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah. Do we have any of that Metallica?
College football is reeling. Champaign Lane Stadium is singing along to
us. He's like 93 right here. Put the headphones on. Let's go.
College kids, man. Indoors for a year and a half. It looks like that when they get to come back outside. Oh, my God. Let it build. Let it build. So good. So good. Love it. It's Friday night. University of North Carolina ranked, top 10 ranking.
Zach Bias, call of the year. Quarterback North Carolina. Keep your eye out for him. What's his name, Zach?
Sam Howell.
Yeah.
Got his head smashed in. Virginia Tech roll.
Oh my gosh. How about that atmosphere?
Man,
Holy cow.
For those Hokies, without a number next to their name, you got a top 10 ranking coming in there, and North Carolina getting beat 17-10. Howell looked pedestrian, to put it lightly. Three interceptions for the future first-round pick. We say that now. Who knows what's in store here over the coming months of college football? That was tremendous. And to see Wisconsin, you know, the scene of jump around was just off the charts good, 10 out of 10. The energy was coming right through your screen. It was just tremendous, man. It was a fun weekend of college football.
It just shows you, it really shows you once again the effect that fans have on a football game. It really does. You kind of forgot about it last year, and it was a different style of football. And, you know, when you don't have fans in the stands, it's huge for the opposing team. Such a benefit for them. And when you start putting fans back in the stands and you got that type of environment, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, and all of a sudden those quarterbacks are over there and they're trying to call audibles. They're trying to do things that they haven't had to do in 2 years. We're dealing with the crowd noise, and it makes things a lot different, a lot more difficult for them. And you saw that. You saw that in a big way from a lot of teams, just the communication and trying to get things going. What they didn't have to deal with last year.
Was last season, I was working with Slareth 2 weeks ago in the morning, and Stink said last season was the easiest season to play quarterback in the NFL in NFL history for that fact. The fact that you did not have crowd noise. He said you'll be in a position where you'll be on the road in Cleveland or Philly and you got to scrap some of your playbook because you can't hear. And I thought that was interesting because he said, look, if Drew Lock couldn't thrive last season, in the season where it was the most touchdowns ever thrown, highest completion percentage ever, least amount of interceptions, a part of the context of game days attributed to those things. And it makes it even more glaring that Drew couldn't figure it out in a season like that. Do you give any credence to what Stink said?
Yes, to a certain degree. Certainly. I mean, it was ideal last year for you to play good football on the road, at home. But also, there was negatives involved last year, too, that we talked about that he didn't get to take a part of. You know, when you look at the offseason, a normal training camp, all those things, right, that really put him behind the eight ball. But also, there was some benefits there. But, you know, not having fans in the stands or very little fans in the stands, right? Not normal going on the road conditions and having to deal with certain things. So, but plus all the other things, you know, the lack of holding calls, the more explosive plays than ever, all those things he didn't take advantage of enough. And certainly if he would have, you know, he probably would still be the starter right now.
Yeah, it's all part of the picture of 2020. I want to just get something off my chest.
Uh-oh.
Here because it's very, very early in the season, and last year I had a team that I identified very early in the season that I said I like this group. I'm going to follow this group. And who was it?
That was BYU.
Look at me. BYU was like, I identified them very, because they play late and I get to isolate them and just them and watch them. And I said, I'm going to go legally change my name to from BYE to BYU.
Yes. All right?
And rode that train and covered a lot of spreads. I got my team for this year.
Don't do it.
I got my team.
You can't.
Yes, I can.
No.
My team for this year, that's like my darling that I got my arm around.
Oh, my goodness.
Is the Cincinnati Bearcats. Cincinnati Bearcats are loaded on both sides of the football. It's going to take a lot for them to shoehorn themselves into the college football playoff picture. They may have to go perfect to do it, all right? But they are loaded. They have a quarterback that I believe has a real opportunity to play himself into the first round. His name's Desmond Ridder. If you're a college football fan like I am, you have watched Desmond Ridder for years now. He is a senior. He's been around what it feels like forever. He's got better and better every year. He's a dual threat quarterback. They played Miami of Ohio, who is a cupcake, but they treated a cupcake like a cupcake should be treated when you're Cincinnati. Beat the brakes off them, 49-14. I think Cincinnati is going to be a terrific football team this year. And by the time that this thing's over, now they got some tough games. They're going on the road to a top 25 Indiana team. They go on the road
and
to
we'll
play
see
a top
what Indiana,
10
who Indiana is this year. They got shellacked by Iowa. So
oh, yeah.
Let's see what Indiana looks like this year, right?
Yep. Yep, there's no question. We'll see who Notre Dame is. They got to go to Notre Dame on the road.
That'll be a tough one.
That'll be a tough one. But I'm telling you, and they got Central Florida, and the schedule is tougher than it's been in years past for Cincinnati.
But they always play Central Florida, right? Don't they? Pretty much.
Yes,
every year?
They're the same conference, right? The American,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But this is they got an opportunity for the group that they have, with the quarterback that they have, the coach that they have. To really disrupt a prototype that the college football playoff has been with those blue bloods from the
Power
Five
conferences. Yeah, I mean, they're eighth right now,
yep.
Right? So
yep.
It's not like, you know, they're 20th, 25. I mean, this is a real team. It's a real team. A lot of people don't, you know, we do because of Bearcat Gym.
Right.
You know, we get like our daily updates that this is like annoying, you know, when Cincinnati. So I got to pull against Cincinnati, even though you like the story. But I just get tired of hearing the daily updates and the weekly updates and the articles and all this and that and, you know, all these different things. So I got to pull against them. Because I'm just tired of it. Make it go away, right? But they're a real team. I mean, they're a veteran team. They got a veteran quarterback coming back. They were, you know, some bad coaching away from beating Georgia in the stinking bowl game last year. I mean,
yep.
They had them on the ropes. They should have won it. Bad coaching there by Luke Fickell, or they win that football game. And but so they are a proven team. They show that they can play with the biggest and the baddest out there. And this is a real football team this year. You're on it.
All right. Keep your eye on it. What did you make real quick of Brian Kelly after the football game, the overtime win?
He's a dum-dum. There you go. I mean, like, what are you doing? I mean, is it a big deal? No, but you'll have your sensitive people out there that will do what they do, and they'll be sensitive. But you got to have more awareness than to say something like that, right?
Soon as he said it, and this is Brian Kelly right after the football game, after defeating Florida State in overtime.
What do you think of your team's ability to withstand Florida State's impressive comeback?
I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight. I mean, we just didn't execute very well. And
so it's somebody trying to be funny.
Exactly.
And they're not funny. And it's like, come on, buddy. What are you doing
here? He tried to tee his own self up for the joke. And it's just really the and I know this has been said, but the worst execution was him trying to pull off that joke.
Yeah.
The old John McKay quote that football fans know, forever. What'd you think about your team's execution? I'm in favor of it. It was just the first thing that I thought of, though, is like, you're kind of disrespecting Florida State. It's like that team just played their rear end off. They took you to overtime. And your first comment is like, oh, we should execute our team. Like, let's give some credit to Florida State.
Yeah.
They played great.
Yeah.
I just think it was
great game.
Great game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, that was such a fun game to watch. What a great job by Florida State coming back and the great story there with Mackenzie Milton, returning to play quarterback after almost losing his leg. It just was a great story, and the kid comes in and plays great there. And, man, I was pulling for Florida State to pull that thing out, though.
I was on the other side of it and knew I was screwed when we went into overtime.
Yeah, that's 7 and a hook.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough. You need a couple overtimes.
Right.
The 2-point, then you start playing out, well, I need my team
to score
first,
and then I
need them to right. get the 2-point conversion, then hold them out of the end zone. Then I can make this work. I just need a lot of things, dominoes to fall for me. Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Oh,
been there
gosh.
Many
can't,
a time.
You can't win them all.
No.
win them all. All right, the Broncos were caught in an embarrassing position last year in front of the NFL
Ooh.
World. And now we have more context to why it happened.
More context? I thought we had already learned what had happened.
Mm-mm.
Huh?
Take a dive into it next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
The Broncos were caught in an embarrassing situation last year in front of everyone. And now we have more context to why it happened. And of course, it was, if you think back to that week of football, the Broncos were the story, like, of the week. Like, this was the headline. This was the most covered topic in the league that week from coast to coast.
I mean, it was one of the main storylines of the year last year.
It was.
I think you could put it top three, top five. Storylines of the NFL year, that was one of them. Broncos having to play a game with a practice squad wide receiver as their quarterback.
Yep. And if you remember, they had they tried to get one of their coaches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why not?
They hadn't played football in like 7 years.
Well, Zach, I mean, look who you're going with. I mean, at least get a guy that's, can throw the ball.
I mean, you couldn't make it up. And to your point, being one of the biggest stories of the year, Kendall Hinton is now, there's a piece of his, what do they call that there?
Wristband.
Wristband there in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. So as proof positive to your statement there, it was isolated along with, I think it's 8 things that really captured the 2020 season. But listeners of this show know that we've been saying forever, and I know I speak for myself, I've been saying forever, that there's a missing piece of this puzzle that we didn't quite realize. That why would the NFL be so heavy-handed with the Denver Broncos when with other teams they were willing to be flexible and move games to Tuesdays? We haven't had a Wednesday game. Why, for some mask slippage, which is what we were told, for some mask slippage, would they be punished that way? It never made sense.
No. you knew the NFL wasn't playing around. They're just going to keep plowing forward, and that's what they did for. Unless you had a huge outbreak where you couldn't field a team, that was going to be what they did, and that's what they did. You know, it didn't matter if it was a quarterback situation. So to me, it wasn't like there was more to it. It was just like, hey, this is what's going to happen this year, and it will happen again. It doesn't matter if you get four or five quarterbacks out. It doesn't matter. They're going to keep moving forward. You know, certain situations, yeah, they're going to, you know, maybe move a game or a couple days last year, given that if you can't properly field a team, right? But if you're in the Broncos situation and your quarterback screwed up for whatever reason, they weren't going to give you a pass, and they didn't.
Sam Farmer of the L.A. Times, who has just done a great job for many, many years.
Yeah, I like him.
He brought some clarity to what was in Broncos country's blind spot. He said he was referencing a game with the Pittsburgh Steelers that they had to move around. And he said, quote, but the NFL, and this article, by the way, wasn't about the Broncos. It was about how the NFL handled the 2020 season. Guys, if you haven't read it, do yourself a favor and read it. It is over the top interesting. And I'll explain my biggest takeaway here in just a second, Stoke. But he says in relation to a moved Steelers game, Sam Farmer says, quote, but the NFL took a different view of Denver's game that same week, even though four Bronco quarterbacks had been ruled out as close contacts and the team had to start a practice squad receiver at quarterback. John Elway, Denver's president of football operations, made several frustrated pleas to Roger Goodell to postpone the Sunday game until Tuesday when the quarterbacks would be available. The league denied those requests because surveillance video from Denver's facility showed the quarterbacks had tried to fool the system. They had removed their contact tracing devices and put them in four corners of the meeting room. Then they sat together to watch film. That close contact automatically made them ineligible to play. End quote. What do you make of the murky picture that we didn't know for sure, yes, coming to focus?
It makes sense now why the NFL, like you said, was so heavy-handed with the Broncos and didn't budge on maybe, you know what, giving them an extra day or two there. It makes sense. Players knew the rules. They deliberately broke the rules, knowing the consequences, and they paid the price. But now we know why Vic fined them.
Right.
Now we know why Vic fined him, Zach, right there. It, you know, there was reports, you know, we heard from Drew's mom and, you know, they were just trying to work hard. And we heard from, you know, the quarterbacks taking ownership. And but nobody went out of the way and say, we tried to cheat the system. We got caught. And that's why, you know, we're in this situation. Nobody told us that. But it makes sense why they got fined. If it was just one of those things where, you know what, we had like mass slippage when we were eating, the Broncos wouldn't have fined them.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have fined them.
No.
They'd have been like, you know, hey, we, you know, just bad luck on our part, that, you know, somebody tested positive and, you know, you were kind of close enough to them to miss games. But now it comes full circle, Zach. And it wasn't the reports that we were hearing from hometown crowd over there, media and stuff. This is the facts here, and now it makes sense. That's why they got fined.
Right. And the statement that I said a number of times that I would have to tie half my brain behind my back to think that simple mask slippage caused the embarrassment that was Broncos Saints. And now we know for sure. This is something that I thought about putting out there, Stoke, to be totally honest with you. You and I have talked about it off the air. I wasn't exactly sure what they did, to be honest with you. I knew it had something to do with trying to game the system through their contact tracers. And I couldn't quite piece it together. I had one source tell me that they tried to destroy their tracers. Another source told me that they took them and they chucked them across the room. And it was something like that. But I didn't know for sure enough to report it. My phone would have been ringing from the PR department. So I just said, I'm just gonna sit on this one. But now we know. I mean, this makes sense. Because here's the thing, Stoke. If they were just sitting too close together and their contact tracers were, you know, just too close together, we would not have saw what we saw. It was trying to game it. It was trying to circumvent the system. And whether you agree that the system was fair or not, it's kind of beside the point. They tried to game it. And the league found out about it. I don't know what they were thinking, the quarterbacks that day. There's clearly surveillance. I don't know what they were thinking. And
well, they weren't thinking.
They weren't thinking.
And then at the same time, guess what? If whoever doesn't get tested positive, they don't go back and look at the film, right? They know that. The players know that. Right. They know that, you know, we're good. I feel good. We all feel good. Okay, perfect. So, you know, let's just throw our bracelets in the corner of the room here and put them all four different corners and we can sit down by each other and watch the film together. And they won't review this film. They won't review the footage. But the problem was somebody tested positive. Who was it? Was it Bortles?
You know, I don't quite remember.
Was it Blake Bortles? I think it was Bortles.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, he did nothing but bring COVID here.
You're kind of right? Jogging my memory here.
I think that was the thing. It's like Blake Bortles.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't Bortles.
No,
maybe it was Driscoll.
Was it Driscoll? Oh, no. No, I think it was Driscoll.
Driscoll, right. Yes, Driscoll. I mean, Driscoll did nothing here but bring COVID here also. So, so they knew they would get away with it. But the catch was
someone actually tested positive.
When they tested positive, now they're going to go.
Now you got to unpack
it. Look at the tracers. They're going to look at film. They're going to make sure,
right?
You know, because they weren't playing around.
Nope.
They just didn't want a huge outbreak. And once they realized that, these guys weren't where they're supposed to be.
Right. Right.
Now we're going to make them pay for it, and they made the Broncos pay for it.
They did.
And it makes sense that Vic. Find those guys the way that he did.
Right.
Now it really makes sense.
And that was the other key of the story is like, wait, you guys think that you guys just believe what you're told here? That the Broncos really didn't do anything wrong because they didn't have an owner. They're being an example made up. No, it was because they broke the rules. Period. So does this, and I'm going to ask the question here, and it's being pointed out on the text line. I've heard other shows talk about it. Does this speak or is it representative to the immaturity of Drew Lock?
Nah, I'm not going to go there. You know, obviously it was a bad decision by all of them, not just Drew, by all of them coming together. But, you know, I'm not going to say it was strictly his fault. But at the same time, it cost the Broncos, it cost his team, and as a quarterback, you're held to a little bit of a higher standard there, especially in the times that they were dealing with last year, and it made the Broncos look really silly. So, he's a young football player. Young football players are immature, most of them. Like, they make some bad decisions, and certainly that was one I guarantee you wish he had back, but I'm not going to say, oh my gosh, this is Drew Lock. You know, he's just a very immature person and player. I think he's grown a lot, like most young football players do.
And just young people in general.
Yes. I mean, I did some dumb things when I was, in the NFL.
Yeah.
My first couple years. Not like, but I wasn't under the spotlight. I didn't have COVID. I didn't have all these tracers. So
what'd you do?
We'll talk about that during the break. but I mean, just like nothing crazy. Just immature. You look back, say, I was immature. Yeah. I shouldn't have been doing that. Why'd you go out that night? Why'd you do that? You know, just things like that.
Yeah.
So you and I
agree on this one. I don't think it is solely like speaks to the immaturity of Drew Lock, but I do think it speaks to the quarterback room that the Broncos assembled in general.
And Great point.
If Tyrod Taylor was in that room, if Ryan Fitzpatrick is in that room, someone speaks up and says, guys, this isn't a good idea. This just isn't a good idea. And they didn't have that voice.
Yeah.
And we talked about, as soon as they signed Jeff Driscoll that day, you and I said, this is not good. This is not good. And I think that's my biggest takeaway from all this stuff.
That's well said. I like that. You're spot on.
All right.
Spot on.
Stoke, we've been asking, you've been asking the same question relating to Vic Fangio for over a year now that we may now have an answer to. Details next.
Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
We've been asking the same question relating to Vic Fangio for over a year. And Stoke, you specifically for sure have really driven home this point of Vic Fangio needing help during football games, managing the clock, managing timeouts, while he manages the next defensive play call.
Yes. Look, the whole time it hasn't made sense. Like, if you can't handle everything, guess what you have to do? You have to delegate.
Right.
Right?
What leaders do.
That's what leaders do. It's not a mission of weakness. It's not a mission of anything like that. It's just like, okay, hey, realizing that, you know what, I need a little help here. I got too much on my plate. You're a first-time head coach in your second year last year, and you're also trying to be the defensive coordinator while trying to manage a football game. That is, you know, that's a hard task, right? I mean, because you're talking about, like, split-second decisions when it comes to using timeouts or not using timeouts, and at the same time, you're trying to figure out defensive play calls. That's a very difficult thing to do. How many coaches do that? Not a lot. So it was a lot on his plate, but the problem, Zach, all along for me was he never realized it.
Right.
You know, right. It's like, oh, no, nothing to see here. No, we were fine there. I made the right calls there. But sometimes he would say, yeah, we wish we had had that one back. But then a week later, he'd say, nah, nothing to see. We were fine. Went back and looked at it. We were good.
Numbers, you'll see.
Yeah, we crunched them.
We crunched
them. It wasn't
them
good. It wasn't good. So, yes, that was, like, that's where I've stood the whole time. Like, just get some help here. Either relinquish your defensive coordinator title and let Ed Donatell call the defense and just be the head coach, and now you can do the timeouts and all that stuff. Or if you still want to be the defensive coordinator, then you need to get help with all that other stuff.
Enter Matt Sheldon. Who's Matt Sheldon? Well, once upon a time, played college football at the University of Minnesota. He has over 20 years of experience in coaching, analytics, and video. Sheldon's role focuses on a league-wide research, self-scouting, and coaching strategy. This is Uncle Vic last week talking about Matt Sheldon.
Yeah, he does analytic type studies, you know, more football oriented. When I say more football oriented, not, you know, into the deep crunch, you know, it has nothing to do with personnel and all that stuff. He's just a football analytic guy, and he's got connection with me during the game and any type of situational stuff.
Okay. I like that. So it seems like, you know, he's not doing, you know, he's not looking at film. That's what I took from that, right? Like, he's not looking at film and looking at these players and bringing an analytics perspective from that point of view. He's just there for, you know, game help and timeout help and challenges and those types of things, which is very valuable. That's what I gathered from what Vic said. Did you hear the same thing?
For sure. For sure. Let me give you a little bit of background here on Matt Sheldon. Again, like I said, over 20 years of experience. He previously worked as the director of football research and strategy with both the Jets and the Dolphins. But here's what's key. He also served as director of analytics and football research for the Chicago Bears from 2015 through 16 when Broncos head coach Vic Fangio was the team's defensive coordinator. All right. This guy spent 12 seasons as a coach at the pro level, most recently linebackers coach for the Montreal Alouettes, which I believe Shane Ray is I think Shane Ray is on that team, by the way. He was the assistant defensive backs coach for the Minnesota Vikings from 2010 through 11 when Broncos general manager George Payton was the team's director of player personnel. So we got double relationship here. This guy, Matt Sheldon, has spent time with both Vic Fangio with the Bears and general manager George Payton with the Vikings.
Yeah, look, the Broncos needed somebody to help Vic. It was obvious. George Payton's an analytical type of guy, right? And I don't know if he suggested it or Vic realized he needed it, but I think the good thing here for everyone involved is that Vic looks like he'll be getting help when it comes to, you know, using the timeouts and things like that. So hopefully they got that buttoned up this year, and it's not a topic of conversation for us on Monday of why, you know, one of the reasons why the Broncos lost a game. Because they started the season that way, and they ended the season that way with two big, big mistakes there in those games, multiple mistakes along the way in those games that cost the Broncos in a big way. So, and that was to start the season and to finish the season. You're talking about the Titans and the Raiders game. And so hopefully we don't have that this year. Hopefully we're talking about them winning because, man, they were buttoned up on that, right? You know, great job of using the timeouts, Vic. That was perfect. You know, that was spot on. Like, you saved yourself 20 seconds last year. You screwed it up this year. That 20 seconds was huge. And that's why you won a football game. Bravo. You know, hopefully that's what we're talking about.
Well, I hope you're right, Stoke. This feels like a step in the right direction. And if I had to guess, and I am completely speculating, I think this was somehow, some way, and to what degree, I'll never know, but somehow, some way, a brainchild from George Payton. And the reason why I'm saying it is because based off the tone from Vic Fangio last season, he didn't think he needed the help. And year over year, with this hire of Matt Sheldon, it's an admission of sorts that he does need the help. And I would like to think that it came from an off-season scout, self-scout, from George Payton. Maybe it did come from Vic. That'd be even better. But if I had to speculate, I would guess that this is somehow, some way. We talked about this. If you're George Payton, you would have to watch every single football game from the last two seasons under Vic Fangio. You know he did, given his reputation. And it'd be hard for George Payton, a football guy, to walk away from some of those experiences and say, yeah, we're fine in that department.
Yeah, I'm sure that he was involved with it. And I'm sure that once Vic took a step back, he realized that, you know, there were some moments there that could have been better. You know, maybe you don't want to admit to what degree. And maybe it was a collaboration there between the two of them. And you know, Vic has had a, you know, the first year he had a guy, they fired him. And it cost him. So hopefully, you know, hopefully it was just those two guys realizing that, you know what, moving forward, George Payton likes having those guys. And Vic welcoming, you know, especially this guy who he's worked with.
Right.
And it just seems like if... I don't know, when you look at Vic and Rich Gangarello, then you look at Vic with the analytics guy the first year, that it just didn't work out for whatever reason. You know, but if Vic has history with you, Vic trusts you,
right?
Then I think it's, you know, it goes a step farther. Like he'll listen to you then.
You're not the Rich Gangarellos or Mitch Tannys of the world.
Mitch Tanny was a former analytic guy.
Yep, Vic's first year, apparently he did not like him in his ear. All right. So we'll just footnote this.
You got to trust the guy, right? I mean, you got to trust him.
Yep.
And if you don't trust him, then you can't keep him around.
All right, we'll take this a little footnote, put it in our back pocket, and have it throughout the 2021 season. And some of those issues hopefully don't raise their ugly head again. All right, why did the Broncos end up being featured in an article in the Washington Post in terms of a prediction of their 2021 season? Huh. We'll fill in the gaps coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.